I'm convinced of this. Nobody can talk me out of this. Don't. If you think you're going to talk me out of what I'm about to say, you're not going to do it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday on the Revelation series. Believe it or not, we're moving along. Now, nobody's going to talk me out of this. That I think the more a job, the more any kind of job you have, the more it will kill you, the more benefits they're going to offer you to work for that company. I mean, whoever heard of paying somebody to not work? Martin, I got a great job. Oh yeah, how good is it? Well, they're giving me 5 weeks paid vacation. Ooh, that job's going to kill you. That's going to be one terrible job, and you're going to barely survive it. Because who pays people for sitting at home? There has to be an inducement, following up yesterday on my rant against advertising, there has to be an incredible inducement to work for a place that sucks. Really, and so we're going to pay you for not working. We're going to give your wife maternity leave, and we're going to pay your health care, and we're going to do all these nice things for you. And you're still sitting there thinking, I don't know, let me think about it. Because the job is going to kill you. It might be high profile, but it's filled with morons. It's filled with power-hungry jerks. It's filled with control freaks. And you're going to barely survive that job. But you got your 5 weeks paid vacation, and believe me, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. And you're going to need the health care. You know why you need health care working for these places? Because your health is going to be compromised. You're going to be spending a lot of time at the doctor's office shaking like this. How are you doing at work? Fine. I got great benefits, Martin. Yeah. Whenever somebody tells me they have great benefits at work, I say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I really am sorry. They don't understand it, but they eventually understand it because I had a bad day. Yeah, I know you had a bad day. I know you had a bad day. So back to the. Let's get through these. We have to get through these today. Where did we leave off? The amazing thing is where we left off. The turn public thought from essentials to non-essentials, and when public thought goes into the vast wasteland, the tundra of non-essentials, then it becomes diverted to the point that it can be taken over by anything. It's the scrubbing, the demoralization of the mind, that now it thinks that the most important thing is my phone won't boot up fast enough, or I fall for this stuff. The stuff I get upset over is ridiculous. Some little glitch on my computer. It doesn't come up when I double click something, it goes somewhere else. Like, if you don't realize that you know you're in trouble when this starts happening. Oh, I read somebody, they wrote a book, they put a piece of toast in the toaster, and they put the toast down in the toaster, and they were standing for it, just waiting for the toast to come up. Come on, when's that stupid toast going to come up? And they're nervous, and the toast seems to never come up. It eventually pops up, and there you have it. It's a miracle. You have a machine you can put a piece of bread in, and it will toast it. And there's a little knob, there's a little dial that'll toast it to different degrees. Some toasters have colors on the graduated dial that'll tell you, just put the knob on the color you want your toast to be. And yet it's not fast enough for us, so you know something's wrong. You know something's wrong at that point, because for one thing, I'll tell you this, you really don't need toast. You don't. Also, you just need bread. Good bread. We don't have good bread anymore. But toast, come on. You want to toast your bread? What the hell's wrong with you? What do you think you are? The Prince of Persia? The King of Egypt? You want your bread toasted? Even toasted bread is a non-essential. And then on top of that, we've compounded what we think is the essential of speed. I want my toasted bread fast. I want it toasted, and I want it now. Then some numbnuts invented the microwave oven. So with the microwave oven, we can radiate our food and get it done even faster so that we can eat it standing up. That's what we do. The microwave is not essential. It is. You know why? You know the guy, whoever discovered fire, Adam, of course, discovered fire. He didn't need an advertisement to discover fire. find water, find love. Adam found love in the world. He found it with Eve. He didn't need a Viagra commercial. You know, that's another bad check written to cover a bad check. All the stress and expectations in the world are making men impotent and erectile dysfunction or whatever. It's caused by, this is my guess, I don't know, but I have a feeling it's caused by the stresses of the world and the crap that people eat and just any number of nervous twitches they develop because of the pace of society. And then society gives you a medicine to fix the problem that shouldn't exist in the first place. Another non-essential to cover a non-essential to cover a non-essential that really, if you get rid of all this stuff and strip life down to its basic essentials, I think things work generally. And I'm all for leaving things alone and letting nature do what it does. Anyway, I divert, don't I? Is that a diversion? I guess somewhat. I got to get back. I got to finish these things. These things are making me crazy. I don't really want to do it, but I have to. 14. I still can't get past 13. That's it. Turning public thought from essentials to non-essentials. That is the death now of our culture. It happened a long time ago, and now it's taken to hideous lengths and proportions. 14, the destruction of religion as a prelude to the rise of the Jewish God. The destruction of religion as a prelude to the rise of the Jewish God. God isn't Jewish. God is not Jewish. He's not American. He's not Greek either. So what are these people thinking? They want to destroy religion. Oh, they want to destroy any religion but theirs, just like the Muslims, the Islamists, the radicals. They're not radical. They're following their holy book. In that sense, they are radical because just like the Christians, nobody reads their holy book. So, of course, they want to replace the world's religions with theirs, and that's going to happen. But you see, the Jews are gunning for a premature and a false millennium. Yes, they are. 15, utilization of masonry, heartless suppression of enemies. Heartless. So if you're going to suppress your enemies, you might as well be heartless about it. Oh, you know what? And I think video games are desensitizing our youth. Because the youth play the video games. Desensitization of violence. So, and it makes one, it's easier to suppress your enemies. I mean, you go to work, you don't like your boss. Assuming you get great benefits and you want to vaporize him. You can't do it legally. I don't think it's legal to vaporize anyone in any country, at least in North America, U.S., Canada, and Mexico. You can't vaporize people, but you can become very angry at them, which will deteriorate your own health, which will make you need the free health care offered you by your employer. The nullification of education. I like the rhythm of that sentence, the nullification of education. Well, they don't want to nullify education. They just want to nullify good education. There's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with politics. There's a lot wrong with bad education and bad politics. And that's what's happening here. The fate of lawyers and the clergy. What do you mean the fate? How is that a protocol? This is what we're going to do. What? The fate of lawyers and the clergy. What does that even mean? Number 18, the organization of disorder. That I understand. And people, okay, you're the conspiracy theorists out there are thinking you create the disorder and then you can organize it. Well, that might be happening to a degree, but I think the overwhelming majority of disorder is there by nature. Things are in a state of devolution, not evolution. Things are deteriorating at a rapid rate. We have to work to keep things organized. So the disorder is there by nature. I mean, it's a wicked eon. And a lot of crap doesn't work, and a lot of crap gets pushed around and disorganized. So if you can organize something, you're a genius. I'm sorry, but so many people suffer from disorganization that those who have the ability to organize stuff, they're pure geniuses, and they're going to make a lot of money. If you work on cars, you're going to be rich. If you clean stuff, you're going to be rich. I think these people going out cleaning homes, putting up home cleaning services, I think they're geniuses. They're making tons of money because everybody's disorganized. Well, there are a few people. There are a few really irritating people who know where everything is. Look up, I told you to do this before, look up Einstein's desk on the day he died. Look it up. Put those Write that in your little Google search. Oh, God, that day Google disappears will be a happy day, a day of great celebration and mirth and glee. Mutual understanding between ruler and people. Mutual understanding between ruler and people. I don't get that one. Doesn't make sense. Because you would think that you would want a great distance between ruler and people. So that the rulers do their thing and the people do their thing. Mutual understanding. Maybe that's a misprint. Maybe it's supposed to be misunderstanding. Number 20, the financial program and construction. We of course, money has to be organized, but that's another disorganized thing that could stand to be organized and will be organized and is organized. Number 21, domestic loans and government credit, whatever. 22, the beneficence of Jewish rule. If you give us your money and your power, we will make you happy. We are good people. We are the people of Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. How bad can it be? Jesus was a Jew. How bad can it be? Right? Come to us. We are the people of the book. We gave you the scriptures. From the people who brought you the Bible, we now bring you a one world government. We now bring you Bonanza. From the people who brought you the Bible, we now bring you The Simpsons. From the people who brought you the Bible, we bring you Jason Bourne. Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. 23, the inculcation of obedience. Inculcation, wow. Of course, well, God asked or demanded, of course, the Israelites obeyed the law. They never could. And of course, God never meant them to. They were meant to fail. They were programmed to fail. But obedience is something that rulers want more of, and they need it, because unless you obey them, unless they set themselves up as those who must be obeyed, then they have no power. And of course, one of the tactics to use is fear, the fear tactic, the you ain't gonna get nothing to eat unless you kowtow to me tactic, the food tactic. That's always a good one when you hold food over people. That'll get to you. And controlling of the press, of course. The true genius comes when the people just acquiesce without realizing they're obeying. You get them to think that they really want to do it. Well, I wanted to give all my money to the government. That's what I wanted to do. So it's no longer obedience you have to give. For instance, some of my friends who were in the Worldwide Church of God, ex-Worldwide Church of God people, they were forced to give the tithe. They had to give it to the church. It was first tithe, second tithe, third tithe, then. After a while, it was a forced thing, but they convinced themselves that they wanted to do it. Well, this is in my heart. No, not really. It's not in your heart. You don't want to give the tithe, but you come to think that you do. And so, this falls in line with, if you ask me, I'm going to turn to it again, turning public thought from essentials to non-essentials. Suddenly, even your own desires become non-essential. I know that doesn't really fit. Okay, let's look at it this way. Turning, as far as the individual human psyche goes, turning public thought from essentials, an essential is your own personal sovereignty. And I'm not talking about free will. I'm talking relatively that you are able to get up and make your bed without the government, Big Brother, coming into your room and telling you, make your bed now. Okay, you can put your toast in your toaster and stand there waiting for it to come up without the government telling you, wait for your toast. This is personal, individual sovereignty. That's an essential. It's an essential to love yourself, to feel secure in yourself, again, to have meaningful work, and to have a degree of self-respect. That's an essential. This is turned to from an essential to a non-essential. And the non-essential, in a big sense, this is tricky, is the welfare of the state. The welfare of the state, it's said to be the most essential thing. In other words, you are supposed to give up your personal sovereignty to enrich the state because it's the state that's making everyone else happy. So you look at all the people around you who aren't happy. Don't you feel guilty that you feel so good about yourself? So you need to give that up. But that's an essential. I'm telling you, Martin Zender, me telling you, do not ever give that up. But you are told to give it up for the greater good. All, as the dictators say, the greater good. This is the greater good. This is the greater good. Or if it's a woman, This is the greater good, darling. Or if it's a sexy woman, this is the greater good. Come to the greater good. Surrender your personal sovereignty. You're going to love it. You're going to love it where we are. Come join the mainstream government. Come join the New World Order. We think you'll be comfortable here. That's the beginning of the end. Don't ever surrender that. And protocol number 24, the Jewish ruler. It's all capitalized. You know it's all capitalized. The Jewish ruler they are thinking of and the Jewish ruler that the Jews will accept is unfortunately the Antichrist. That's unfortunate. The Jewish ruler they're not referring to there is Jesus Christ, unfortunately. They don't even recognize the majority of this nationality doesn't even recognize that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, already came. He already came. You missed it. That's unfortunate. But God has never forgotten the love he has for these people, and he will turn their hearts. That's what the new covenant is, ladies and gentlemen. It is a turning of the hearts of the nations back to him through great trial. And this is why I thank God for the coming tribulation. It's going to be short. It's going to be quick, but it's going to finally bring this people into the kingdom, into the rulership, and this thing that they've always wanted and always dreamed of but never realized, that it comes through the laying down of their pride and the laying down of self-righteousness and the laying down of selfishness and bringing forth again that deep human need. It's in there somewhere to serve other people, and they will be serving the earth and feeding the earth all the essentials that it needs through the ownership and the mastership of their Messiah, Jesus Christ.